Happy Feast of St. Francis Day. It's Reverend Jay here, and I want to share a reflection on, well, the gospel lessons for the Feast of St. Francis. The gospel lesson was Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Happy Feast of St. Francis. Now, sometimes we have to take a knee. You'll hear this phrase a lot amongst folks in the U.S. military. It isn't about being right or wrong or giving up. To take a knee names our capacity to embrace the grace of humility and to taste the honesty of knowing one's limitations in that moment. Especially when we know things aren't working as we would like, this comes in handy. I remember when the late Johnny Cash covered the Nine Inch Nails song Hurt. There's a line in that song that goes right to the heart. What have I become, my sweetest friend? Everyone I know goes away in the end. He recorded this song to the backdrop of the suffering that he experienced from health problems and knowing that he was nearing the end of his life. Known for his candid and honest songwriting, Cash would sing songs people did not always want to hear. And it wasn't because it wasn't good, but because the music spoke a truth that would go deep and invite people into those uncomfortable places of questioning who they might be. My friends, we all experience fatigue, injury, loss, and deep hurt. This suffering is part of our human experience together. It's almost like a normative. So sometimes we have to take a knee. That's a moment to take breath, to enter into a new space, a different space, where we can perhaps learn to think and maybe act differently to respond to that situation. Time allows for healing and also a new acceptance. Taking a knee also speaks to our ability to simply shut up and listen. We all know someone, and I know I can be this way too, who might feel ever so slighted when we're told something that we think we already know. Or we also know people, maybe even ourselves, who just can't take it well when they feel like they should know. It's not that we don't know. But in the practice of awareness, a redundancy can be a helpful practice. We can also shed that fake skin of ego to be the real that is inside of each and every one of us. In listening, we can also learn to let go of our need to be right and to make that step to acknowledge the possibility of having more than one right answer. So this past week, my daughter Kieran wanted me to make snow cones with her old hand crank Snoopy snow cone maker. I think some of y'all might have one out there. Well, you also know that it's made out of really delicate plastic, and sometimes the blades, well, they easily go out. It's a cute machine, but I also knew the blades to cut ice had become very dull, and so it wouldn't work. So I told her straight up, it's not going to work. I initially refused to do it. And then my daughter said something. Dad, sometimes you have to try new things. You have to learn how to say yes before you say no. You always say no. Ouch. Man, that hurt. I had to pause right there. I had to take a knee. I realized I had to press that reset button with enthusiasm towards the way of saying yes and the possibility that, well, in my capacity to say yes, I can embrace that way before a no. Now, we live in a time where cynicism compounds the complexity of living together in a civil society and even living together in a household. I wonder what would happen if we were more able to approach the world with an attitude of yes. Remember when you were five and, well, anything was possible? Now, St. Paul, in his letter to the community in Galatia, reminds us of that a new creation is everything. That community was struggling amongst a diverse people about who was in and who was out, Jew or Gentile. The Gentiles would likely have been Celtics and Romans. And while Paul may have borne the physical wounds of the Christ, he reminded the community that the actual mark of Jesus that defines you and I is a way of love. And that's why we could sing back in the day Father Peter Schultes' 1962 folk hymn, "And they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love." But today, in this age of cynicism, that hymn has fallen out of favor in amongst many Christian circles because Christian folks, well, let's be honest, a lot of Christian folks don't always live into that love. Well, we're human after all. Maybe we have to take a knee and revisit that because the symbols, like in our songs, inform and inspire us into the fullness of who we are. We are made in the image of God who loves us so much that the good Lord sent us the Christ to be amongst us. But thankfully, God is not made in our image. Because if God were just like us, well, who would save us from ourselves? But that is why we continue to go to the cross. Because the cross reminds us that in all the cynicism and complexity of life, God will help us overcome. You see, the cross, even though we have a lot of stylized, really beautiful looking crosses, especially here in our church buildings, and it's quite beautiful. Well, the cross is quite rough. It's quite real. It's heavy. It's hard to carry. But God helps us to balance that out. The answer to cynicism is to relearn how to say yes with an enthusiasm to embrace possibility and to create new things anew. Because what's the alternative? Embrace the suck? But we won't even be able to do that until we actually say yes and trust that we can find the good between a rock and a hard place. God will help us to balance the burden. Looks like we have to take a knee to receive the blessing, though. Jesus says this very clearly to anyone with the capacity to listen. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the Jesus blessed Saint Francis chose to follow almost 800 years ago. Thomas of Celano, Franciscan poet and an early biographer of Francis, wrote, "The image of Christ crucified spoke to him. Francis, it said, calling him by name, 'Go rebuild my house. As you see, it is all being destroyed.'" Francis was more than a little stunned, trembling and stuttering like a man out of his senses. He prepared himself to obey and pulled himself together to carry out the command. He felt this mysterious change in himself, but could not describe it. Francis, in his capacity to listen and say yes, discovered it wasn't so much about rebuilding the church buildings, which we know is nice, But this faith in Christ was truly about inviting our people into a faith that blesses God, all people, and all creation with the stuff that we are made of. Because part of the good news has always been that you and I are made from love for love. And on this day that we bless our animals or stuffies and the ones that give us the companionship, the great divine invites you and I to take a knee and listen for all the places that are in need of blessing. You know those tender spots of the world that are out there. You know those places that need our care. So we pray, Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Not because we pray for peace as the end goal of life's actions, but because peace is actually the starting place for a life that offers blessing. And when we come to that place where we ask ourselves, what have I become? Rising up off our knees, I pray we can be confident to say, yes, all I do is bless. My friends, thank you for all you do to share the blessing of goodness, truth, family, tradition, love out there in a world that needs more love. God bless you. God keep you. And be the blessing that you are. Amen.